You have your Bible, turn with us to Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17 and verse 18. He said, "Then certain philosophers, the Epicureans and the Stoics, encountered him. And some said, 'What will this babbler say?' Others, some, 'He seemeth to be a setter forth of strange gods, because he preached unto him Jesus and the resurrection.' And they took him and brought him unto Areopagus, saying, 'May we know what this new doctrine whereof thou speakest is? For thou bringest certain strange things to our ears, and we would know therefore what these things mean. For all the Athenians and strangers which were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear some new thing.' Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, 'Ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you're too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, "To the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you. God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped of men's hands as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that ye should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also of his offspring." I want to preach just a little bit this morning for a moment, if God will be my help, on this one thought, on truth. You know, I was thinking as I was looking this week about the things that we see and the things that we know. But as I begin to think, I begin to do some research, I begin to study, and God began to reveal to me that there's a lot of things that we need to know. There's a lot of things that there's gray areas about. But I want to say, when it comes to God, it's not a gray area. Amen. We know what God is. We know who he is. But Paul, when he begins to come down to Mars Hill, and he begins to bring a case of the Lord. And I believe we ought to be able today to be able to bring a case for the Lord. I believe you ought to be able to give an answer to the people who'd ask us, a reason to hope that's in us, with meekness and with fear, knowing that God Almighty's real. But I'm afraid today, in the hour that we live, that we've missed the mark. The truth of God isn't real to us. As I was listening this morning, Brother Bill was teaching in the Sunday school hour, and we went through 1 John, and we started in 2 John. In 2 John, the first four verses, he speaks five times of truth. In 3 John, the first four verses, John speaks four times in the first four verses of truth. If there's anything that we need to know this morning, it needs to be truth. We need to know the truth, because the Bible says that truth will set us free. Truth will give us that independence to just trust in God, to love him like he loves us. We need that truth this morning. We need to acknowledge that truth. As Paul begins to speak to the folks here in Athens at Mars Hill, he begins to begin to talk about the superstition. I believe we got a lot of superstition today. Amen. He said, "Hey, you're just too religious." We've got a lot of religion today, praise God. But what is it founded upon? If it's not founded upon truth, then it's of naught. Amen. It won't help us. It won't encourage us. And it won't grow us spiritually. But if we've got truth and we're built upon truth, if we're founded upon truth, what is truth? Truth is Christ Jesus the righteous. Truth is his death, his burial, and his resurrection. Truth is that we need that comes through the portals of God. Truth is that God has to give to me and you. It's to be handed down, praise God, from the portals of glory. Amen. Amen. It's truth that we need. It's truth that we must have in this day and hour that we live. And truth comes from God. A lot of superstition, a lot of religion in the world, but praise God, it won't save you. Religion won't save you. Do you know that? Amen. Religion won't get you to heaven. Amen. A lot of people are trying to do good, but doing good won't get you to heaven. Amen. You say, "Well, preacher, if doing good won't get me to heaven, what will?" Putting our faith and our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We have to believe in him. We have to trust him. We have to accept the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did for us. Amen. And James said, once we begin to trust the Lord, once we begin to have that faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, he said, then we begin to do those works that's pleasing to God. Amen. We can't work our way in. Hey, see that Mars Hill, they was a religious crowd. I mean, they was looking at every God and every essence. Praise God, and they even put this to the unknown God because they didn't want to leave nobody out. Amen. They didn't want to displease a God. But I want to say, praise God, there's only one God.
Amen.
Amen. And as we begin to realize that, we begin to realize that in our hearts. I mean, not just in our mind, but we realize it in our heart. We begin to take in that truth of God. Amen. We begin to realize who He is, the very essence of God. Amen. That supreme being, praise God. God Jehovah, it's sitting, praise God, in the throne of grace, praise God, this very day. In the third heaven, sitting there, praise God, ruling the world. Amen. Hey, I want to say, there's nothing ever taken Him by surprise. Amen. All this stuff is transpiring around the world. It didn't take God by surprise. God knows exactly where we're at this morning. He knows exactly where we're at. He knows exactly what we need. Let me just bring it on down. He knows exactly what you need. Amen. He knows exactly this morning what we need. Amen. He knows that we need to love one another. He needs to know that we need to have compassion one for another. He knows that we need to show mercy. Why? Because that's who He is. And that's what He does. And the Bible says we're supposed to be Christ-like. That's what being a Christian is. It's being Christ-like, and it's showing those attributes of God. It's manifesting them from God through us. Amen? And we begin to see God moving. I can see God. Amen? I can see God working in the lives of these people. I can see God transposing you into something that you used to not be. Amen? Where did we get that? How do we know how to do right? I was going to take my time this morning. It's early yet. It ain't even 12 o'clock. But I was going to take my time. I want you to get this morning. Praise God, we need the truth. Truth is what helps us to get there. Truth is what gets us to the place that we need to be in the day and hour that we live. And truth is what's going to set us free, praise God, and give us the guidance and leadership to do right in the days ahead. It's the truth that we have through the Word of God. Now, we can't take that truth and apply it to our life if we don't believe it. Amen. I told you I've been reading and studying a whole lot. I want to figure out why people are getting out when it's time to get in. Amen. I want to know why people are quitting on God when it's time to rally for God. Amen. I want to know why young people are sitting in our churches and they go through a form of religion but denying the power thereof, and they go off into the world at 20-something and never come back. I want to know why. I want to know why that is. And I begin to look at it because of the lack of truth that we have. Amen? We don't have nothing to build upon. We don't have a foundation, and we need a foundation, and that foundation is truth. Amen? I was reading an article, and there was a young lady, and she was 20, 21 years old. Her name was Susan. They asked her a question. They said, Susan, what is it that you're looking for? What is it that you desire? And she said, well, said, I want something that I know is real. Amen. She said, I don't want something. She said, I want something that's relevant to my life. She said, I want something that'll help me in my daily life. She said, I want something that I can apply and know, praise God, that I can see the results. Amen. She said, not only do I want something that's relevant in my life, I don't only want something that I can see in my life and see the results. She said, but I want something that's true. She said, I guess the main thing that I'm looking for is truth. She said, I don't want some charade. I don't want some maybe or the could have be some kind of something. She said, but I want the truth. And she said, I'm going to search for truth wherever I have to till I find truth. She said, that's what I want for my life. She said, I want truth. And they questioned a whole lot of other people, and every one of them fell right in line with what Susan was saying. She wanted truth. She wanted something that she could look at, she could see, that she could know. Amen. I want to say, praise God, we've got that today in the Lord Jesus Christ. We've got that in God, but we have to go back, praise God, to our foundation. We have to realize that God Almighty has given us His truth. Amen. I'm talking about some substance that we can build upon. Amen. Now, if you missed the message Wednesday night, you ought to get a copy. I don't know if God will. I guess they copied it. They record. You ought to get a copy. But we need sustenance, praise God. We preach out of Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 through 3. Amen. About the substance and the evidence that we have of God Almighty. So what Paul does here at Mars Hill, praise God, they were looking for everything in the world, kind of like today. The world today is looking all over the place for answers. And I want to say, mamas and daddies, grandma and grandpa, your youngins, praise God, are looking all over the world and they're looking for answers. They want truth. And now they asked these same people, they said, do you plan on getting back in church? And they said, well, yeah, when we have children. Amen. When we have children, we hope that when we have children, we'll get back in there because they'll need that. And they said, well, what will they need? They said, well, they need some substance. They need truth. And the church is the word. And you know what the biggest thing was, what thrilled my heart? They said, was it, and it wasn't the big churches. It wasn't the great choirs and the singing. It wasn't the contemporary music. Amen. It wasn't that. It wasn't the hoopla. It wasn't the hoops and the games and the gimmicks that they was looking for. Are you hearing me this morning? It wasn't a great big something another, praise God, where it comes together in a jubilant attitude. It was somewhere where they could get truth.
Amen.
It was somewhere where they could get back to the basics. It was somewhere they could get back to God.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
That's what we need today. People tell me, well, Pastor, if you'd get this program and that program and this other program for your youth, boy, they'd just flock in. Yeah, they'd flock in to something cold and dead. Amen. They called me one Sunday morning, a mother did, and she said, Pastor, she said, what do you have for my children? I said, I've got preaching and praying and praising the Lord. Amen. We've got God Almighty and the Holy Ghost of God had to speak to our hearts and give us that we need. Amen. What are we needing today? Paul said, hey, listen. He said, they're searching for everything in the world and said, what they need is truth. Amen. He began to give them truth. You know what we're missing today in the world? We're missing truth. Amen. We're missing the basics. I told him Wednesday night, hey, God, we're missing going back to the truth. Amen. We're living in a world of fairy tales. Amen. The children, as little as kindergarten, sitting in our schools, and the schools are telling them at 30 billion years ago, such and such happened. It's a fairy tale. Amen. We're living in a world of fairy tales. I told the young, please don't listen to that. Say, no, that ain't no way. He said, God, 6,000 years ago, created the heavens and the earth. See, Paul, he's preaching here to instruct the people here at Athens. He began to give them the precious word of God, and he took them back to the beginning. Amen. We need to go back to the beginning and start afresh and anew. Amen. We need to have a foundation. Amen. We've got to have a foundation that starts in the beginning. God, amen, created the heavens and the earth. We've got to have a foundation where we know that God Almighty spoke it into existence. There's no Big Bang theory. There's no evolution. You see, when we begin to look at Susan's life and we begin to understand where she came from, we learn that she was raised up in a fundamental independent Bible believing church. She sat in Sunday school classes week after week. Amen. Her parents would drop her off and she would run to class and she was so excited. And she'd get with a bunch of other little boys and girls and they were excited about the things of God, excited about what they were going to look at, excited about the things they would hear, excited about the stories would be brought to their minds. They was excited. She was excited about it. But see, what our Sunday school teachers can do in 45 minutes... Do you realize that's about all the godly direction, godly leadership, godly instruction that most kids have in a week? Amen? Are you hearing me, teachers? 45 minutes that you give them on Sunday morning is all the godly direction, instructions that they will receive in most homes. Shame on us mamas and daddies. See, it's our responsibility. Deuteronomy 6 says that we should be instructing them when they rise up, instructing them when they sit at the table, instructing them when they go about the day, instructing them when you walk about, instructing them when they lie down at night. Amen. We ought to be the ones that's instructive, giving them good godly instruction. Tell them it's about God Almighty and His goodness. It's about what God can do for them and the instruction He had for their lives. But it says that Susan and her little friends would go to that Sunday school class. They spend 45 minutes and they hear the stories from the Word of God. And that's just what they thought. They thought, well, boy, these are good stories. Amen. Nobody stopped to tell them that this is not just stories, but it's God's Word. It's some thoughts and some directions, some examples that God gives us of godliness to direct our lives. Amen. And Susan would leave that little Sunday school class, go to the preaching service, you know, get a little bit more out of the preaching service and go home. And Monday morning she goes to the classroom. Amen. In the secular school. Little Susan go to that secular school and she sits in her fifth and sixth grade as she begins to hear them give their history and say, well, this is what history really is. And she'd begin to hear them, they'd take their signs and they'd begin to explain everything. They'd begin to explain the world and creation and how a big bang and how this and that and the other. And they would give signs and they would give dates and they would apply things and they would show them and they could see. And Susan began to build an opinion in her mind. She said, well, this stuff is, it must be real because I can see it. It must be real because I can realize it. So she begins to focus on that she can see and she thinks it's real. Because when she gets at church, she said, that spiritual stuff. She said, I can't see it. I can't touch it. And I can't feel it. Amen. God help the church. God help the church. So she begins to build her opinion. Amen. And the world begins to sway her opinion. The world begins to pull her opinion off of godliness and more towards worldliness. Amen? See, that's the same thing that was happening here at Athens. When Paul went in, the world was totally consumed with the things that they could hear and see and touch and the feelings. I want to say praise God by being a child of God, knowing the Lord, it ain't about a feeling. But praise God, if you've got God living in your heart, the feeling will come. You'll know that there's a greater force, praise God, the God of glory, amen, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Holy Ghost of God moving in your heart, amen, is that force, praise God, that's with you to lead you and guide you, to help you in this journey of life. So Paul here to the Athens, he said, I want to declare to you this unknown God. He said, I want to show you this one who you worship ignorantly, or you ignorantly worship. I want to declare Him unto you. I want to show you this God. And he takes them. He didn't start in Matthew or Luke or John. Praise God. He started, praise God, in the beginning. Amen. If you're going to start, if we're going to instruct our children, we got to go to the beginning. We got to go to Genesis and we got to say, in the beginning, God. Amen. Do you realize without the first 11 books, amen, the first 11 chapters in the book of Genesis, if we can't build a foundation upon Him, if we don't get that into our children, praise God, they'll not believe the rest. Amen. God gives us the basics in the first 11 chapters of the book of Genesis. Praise God, that'll guide our life all the way to the end. In Genesis chapter 1, He said, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Amen. Paul takes the Athenians, he says, he takes them back to the beginning, and he said, in the beginning, God created. The true God, the unknown God that you ignorantly worship, praise God, He created it all. Amen. He said not only did He create it all, but said He created it in six literal days. Amen. Hey, listen, when they begin to try to tell you this, these fairy tales at school, amen, you say, listen, and they make you take your test. I told the children, when they make you take your test, you write down according to a book. The book says this or that. Amen, but you don't have to believe it. Amen. You shouldn't believe it, praise God. Just because that book says it, that book is wrong. You say, how do you know? Because it disagrees with God. Amen. We gotta be on God's side. We got to agree with God. Whatever we believe, whatever God says is true. Paul said in Romans, let God be true and every man a liar. Amen. So God begins to give us a foundation. God begins to help us to build our own. He said in the beginning, God, He said in six literal days, He created the heavens and the earth. Amen. He tells us that it was out full with form and void, but pray in darkness was upon the face of the deep. But God Almighty began to walk, and He began to look at what was needed. Amen. Praise God. You can say God looked down, and He seen what was needed, and He began to do a work. He's still doing that today. Amen. If we can believe it in the beginning, God, we can believe today that He's still the same God. Amen. We got to believe because it's truth. We can go back to the beginning and we can see truth. And truth sets us free. It gives us direction, guidance. It gives us the leadership that we need. Amen. Because without truth, we don't know. And God began to create and God began to put things in place. And God began to create man. Amen. On the sixth day, God created man. Amen. Where did we come from? Did we crawl up out of the ocean? No, God said God created man. Amen. So when we begin to base our beliefs, we begin to see where God has taken us from and pray God where He put us at. God took us from the dust of the earth. Amen. He breathed in our nostrils. He became a living soul. Adam. Amen. God breathed in Adam. He put him in the... And the Bible says in Genesis chapter 2, verse 15, and the Lord God took the man and put him into the garden of Eden to dress it and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. Amen. So the Bible tells us, we know that God created the heavens and the earth. Amen. He created everything that we see, everything that we have. God created it. Who created everything? God did. I want to say, ladies and gentlemen, that's truth this morning. Amen. That's what we have to know. Amen. Evolution, it's not even good science. If we're going to have good science, we got to base it on what God said. Amen. You can't take science and prove the Bible. Hello? You have to take the Bible in order to prove science. And if they don't line up with the Bible, then it's not good science. God is the ultimate scientist. Amen. He created everything. Every molecule, every atom, amen, it was created by God. God knows about it. Only reason we know about it is because He gave us the mental capability to know. Amen. These people that think that they're so smart and they're so great in the day and hour that we live, amen, the only reason they have that wisdom is because of God. Amen. So God took man, He put him in the garden. And the Bible says that He created woman. Amen. A woman. Took her out of his rib, took out a rib, put Adam to sleep, took out a rib and created a woman, a helpmeet for Adam. Amen? He didn't create Adam and Steve. Amen? He created Adam and Eve. Amen? A man and a woman. Amen? But see, we're living in a day it's that way. It's no truth. They say, well, you know, and little Susie's was in school and they're telling her from kindergarten up that we have to be respectful for these people because such and such has got two mommies or such and such has got two daddies and we have to be respectful for that. But if we go back to the truth, praise God, and we have to say, hey, listen, the truth is that God created a man and woman, created He them. Amen. He put them in the garden. Amen. And Jesus reiterated on that, by the way. Amen. See, the world's coming along. You got these kids that's coming, and they've got questions. I mean, little Susie, she had questions. And nobody would answer questions because she didn't know who to ask. You know what it is? She should have been asking some godly people. And some godly people ought to have some answers. She said, why is it that two men or two women that love one another can't get married and live happily ever after? Why is it? And they said, well, it's just not supposed to be. And they blow her off and she goes off in the world and the world tells her, everybody she knows tells her, well, it's okay that they're just narrow-minded. But they ought to be telling, say, look, said in the very beginning it wasn't so. God created them male and female, created He them. Amen. Let me just show you something. Look at Matthew chapter 19. Matthew chapter 19. While I'm here, let me just show you something. Matthew chapter 19, verse 3, the Bible says, the Pharisees also came unto Him, tempted Him, and said unto Him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? Now look what Jesus does. He said, and he answered, said unto them, have you not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? Now, what did Jesus do? How did he fix this? He took them back to the beginning. Amen. We've got to be able to go back to the beginning. We've got to go, this is the way God designed it to be. Amen. Quit giving our opinions and just give them what God says. He said that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female. And for this cause, a man, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. He said two of them become one. A male and a female. A man and a woman. Yeah. Why? Because God said so in the beginning. Yeah. Amen. We got to know where we stand. We got to stand on the foundation and the principles. You say, well, preacher, you know, I thought that was just narrow-mindedness. No, it's godliness. It's the way God designed it to be from the beginning. Amen. So he marks it down and he gives us. But you know what happened? You know why we're in the shape that we're in? Because of the beginning. It's the Genesis 3 effect. The reason we don't know the truth, the reason that we don't know what God says, the reason that we don't know how to live and act and follow in the right way to follow God is because of Genesis chapter 3. The Genesis chapter 3 effect. Bible says, Genesis 3 and 1 said, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said. See, the first thing the devil done out of the gate, he began to cast doubt on the truth. Amen? What the devil, the first thing that the devil will do, praise God, in your life and mine, if we'll let him, is begin to cast doubt on the truth. If he can get us to doubt the truth, then he can drag us further and further away from the truth. Amen? But when we begin to believe the truth, begin to know the truth, he said, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of the tree, every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruits of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. Amen? Now, I believe maybe Adam had told his wife, and listen, Blondie, God said that we can't eat of that fruit, and while you got that thought, you're not even supposed to touch it. Amen. Because he said, I know how you're apt to be tempted, so you don't even touch it, praise God, because you're not tempted. So she told the devil, praise God, she said, listen, we can't, of the three in the midst of the garden, said that we can't touch it, we can't eat it, we can't even touch it. Amen. Lest we die. But the old serpent, he rises up again. In verse 4, and the serpent saith unto her, ye shall not surely die. Amen. There he's casting that doubt. There he's not. He's cast that doubt again, just a little bit of doubt of the truth. Did God really say that? Is that what God really said? Is that what he really meant? You know, a lot of times we do that in our Christian life. We say, boy, praise God, I'm a child of God. I love the Lord. I'm serving the Lord with all my heart. Amen. And we'll look around and we'll see somebody that's doing something that God says they're not supposed to do. And boy, we'll criticize them and put them down and say, boy, you're not supposed to do that. But then we go and we'll do that. It's okay for me. But boy, you oughtn't to do that. God said that's wrong. Help us, Lord. But we'll do those things, praise God. It's contrary to God, because, amen, contrary to the truth of God, and do we do it ourselves. Amen? Hey, if it's not right for you, then it's not right for me if God says it's wrong. Amen? And it's not right for me, amen, and right for you if God says it's wrong. Amen? You ought to knock on the door and say, hey, listen, knock on the door in your heart and say, listen, wait a minute, God says it's wrong. Amen? But God, hey, God's pretty straight up. He don't give no gray areas. Praise the Lord. He said, you shall not surely die. He said, for God doth know that in the day that you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. So what he does, he takes and he twists the truth. Amen. He takes the truth and begins to make you doubt. That's what he does. And as he begins to make you doubt, he begins to say, hey, listen, and there's something in it for you. Hey, you'll be like God. You'll know good and evil. Amen. You'll be like a little God in you. You know, that's what the world's telling people today. They say, oh yeah, you're just a little God within yourself. You know, you just do right and listen to God and you're just a little God in yourself. All you are in yourself is an old lost sinner in needing of a Savior. It takes the Holy Ghost and God, of God in you, praise God, to save you. But say, so he comes with these half-truths. He comes in subtle. Amen. He begins to cast doubt. Amen. He begins to cast doubt. He said, well, is that really God? You know, and that's what Susan was dealing with. She said, well, did God really create the heavens and the earth? You know, I've seen science. Science says, you know, this and such and this happened. And said, you know what? They don't really explain it to me down at the church. And they explain it to me at school, you know, and I've got it 8 hours a day and church 45 minutes on Sunday. And boy, it just seems like what they're showing me is so real. So she begins to take it hook, line, and sinker. It's the devil's lie. Amen? So she, what he does, the devil begins to pull the foundation out from under her. Amen? Without a foundation, we're in shifting sand. Amen? And we begin to flounder and we begin to fall. But God, in the book of Genesis, He lays it out for us. He begins to explain to us, and He begins to tell us about the fall. He begins to tell us about the women, the man and the woman, Adam and Eve, how they begin to take of that was forbidden. They begin to be in rebellion against God, and God had to punish them. He took them out of the Garden of Eden. Now, can you imagine? Here, Adam and Eve are. They're in the Garden of Eden. They're in perfect paradise. Amen. There's nothing there to hinder. They're living in perfect harmony with everything around them. In perfect harmony with themselves. A perfect harmony of relationship. Can you imagine that? I'm talking about a perfect relationship. Never get aggravated and frustrated with one another. Never fuss and argue. Amen. I mean, always smiling. There's nothing to frown about. I mean, they're in paradise, praise the Lord. Amen. Always a feeling good. Never had a bad day. Praise God, they don't even need a beautician. Every day is good hair day. Hey, man, I'm talking about paradise. I'm talking about everything's good in paradise. Amen. Nothing to dissuade, nothing to discourage. Amen. Nothing to aggravate, nothing to frustrate. Amen. I'm talking about paradise. Little woman's always perfect. Little man's always perfect. And they're having, and they not only do they have a perfect relationship with one another, but they've got a perfect relationship with the environment around them. Amen. They got all the little animals and everything, the trees and everything. They're in perfect harmony with everything. Can you imagine a place like that? But not only are they perfect harmony with one another, in perfect harmony with their environment, but they're in perfect harmony with God. Now think about this. They're in perfect harmony with God. They're walking with God in the cool of the evening. Amen. God just coming down amongst them. Can you just imagine just shuffling along in the presence of God? Amen. No sin in their life. No, nothing to hide. The Bible said they were both naked and were not ashamed. Amen. They had nothing to hide. Amen. They were in perfect perfection before God. God says it's all good. Amen. Everything I made. Hey, listen. If the world was created the way that the world says it was, then it wasn't all good. Amen. Because stuff was constantly dying. And besides that, you know, if we believe in evolution, we believe that death would come before sin, and death didn't come before sin. Amen. Death come after sin. Amen. That speaks of a young earth. But anyway, here they are in perfect perfection. Amen. In the presence of a perfect God. And the first thing comes along, a little lie comes along, and they get fed a lie. And they begin. You know, have you ever noticed how it seems like you're clicking along pretty good in your life, and some little old something will come along, and somebody will put forth a lie or half truth. Half truth's a lie. Amen. And it begins to affect your life. Amen. It begins to destroy the foundation. It begins to make you doubt about things. And they begin to have those doubts, and they begin to act on those doubts. And they begin to step forward in pride, and they begin to say, hey, look, you know, maybe I don't have to be like this with God. I tell you, the only thing, only hope we have is a close relationship with the Lord. Amen. He's the only one that can help us in the day and hour that we live. He's the only one that can deliver us. Amen. So we see them going on, and the Bible says that they got kicked out of the garden, lost that perfectness, that paradise. They had children, Seth and Cain, and Cain rose up and slew his brother. Cain rose up and slew Abel. Amen. And his blood cried out from the grave. And then Cain went out, and God cast him out. And he was out there a vagabond in the earth. And he goes. And the Bible says that the men were found wicked upon the earth. And that God rose up and he caused a great flood to come because of men's ungodliness. Well, where did it all start? It started when we got away from the truth. Amen. It started when we got away from the truth. We started to decline from God. Amen. And the Bible says that the men became so wicked upon the earth that God called a man named Noah, and he preached. He was a preacher of righteousness, and he preached for 120 years. He said, get right and just turn to God. They said there was not one person other than his family. The Bible said he had three sons, and his sons listened to God. Amen. Sons listened to their father and their wives. So he had three sons and Noah and his wife. Had eight people altogether that believed God. The Bible says God told Noah, he said, to build an ark. Now ark is a, he said, we need to be telling our children because ark is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible said they pitched it within, without, which pitch speaks is that atonement. Amen. Amen. And said to the saving of eight souls. Praise God. He delivered them through things. Speak of the nation of Israel. Amen. He's going to bring them through a tribulation period after church is taken out. Amen. And we see Noah, he came through the flood and he landed on Mount Ararat. Amen. And the waters began to subside and he come out of the boat. The Bible said all them little animals that God had sent to him. Amen. Now you need to study that because God, Noah didn't have to go out and gather them up. Didn't have to go beat the bushes and get the little critters to come in. Amen. The Bible says that they came to him. He just opened the door and they went in. Amen. And the Bible said that boat landed on Mount Ararat, he said he opened the doors and they went back out to multiply, to replenish the earth. Amen. But the Bible don't stop there. The Bible says that Noah had some sons. And one of the sons of Noah was Ham. Amen. Ham done some ungodliness and he had a son, the Bible said, by the name of Cush. Cush had a son by the name of Nimrod. Amen. And the Bible says that Nimrod rose up and he was a mighty warrior. Amen. He was a mighty hunter. Amen. He was a mighty magistrate. He was a leader of the people. Let me show you that. Look at chapter 10 right quickly. I'll show you that right quickly. And I'm going to quit here in just a minute. Chapter 10, verse 8, he said, and Cush begot Nimrod, and he became a mighty one in the earth. He was a mighty hunter before the Lord. Wherefore it is said, even as Nimrod, the mighty hunter before the Lord. And the beginning of his kingdom was Babel. Amen. The Bible says that because of the lie. It started way back in the garden. The half-truth. He said this man grew up and he said it was Nimrod. And he was a magistrate wielding the sword of a magistrate. And he began to wield that sword on his brothers and on his neighbors. And he began to rise up and be a mighty man. He said, hey, listen. He said, we're going to build a city. Amen. We're going to build a city. We're going to build a community. We're going to have a social and a political and an environment, praise God, where we can make the rules. Amen. Where we'll do what we want to do and nobody's going to tell us what to do. Amen. We're going to rise up. We're going to make brick and strike. Praise God. We're going to begin to build a city. It's going to reach all the way to the heavens. Amen. We're going to be somebody. We're going to have a social, global society. Kind of like we got going on now. Amen. They want to build a big old warm, fuzzy government. Praise God. It's just going to take care of all of us and make us all feel warm and fuzzy. Amen. But it don't work that way. You know why? Because they're leaving God out. Only way something like that would work if his God was in the midst. But the Bible says Nimrod, mighty hunter before the Lord, said he rose up and he said, hey, listen, I'm going to build a city. He said, I'm going to be the governor of the city. So I'm going to be the director. Amen. I'm going to build something so magnificent. So magnificent, it's going to reach all the way to heaven. Said, people for miles around to know who we are. Amen. Why? Because of pride. Because they got away from truth. Because they lost the truth. What is the truth today? The truth is God Almighty. Amen. The truth is in the beginning with God. Amen. The truth is the Lord. Who was in the beginning with God? The Lord Jesus Christ. He was in the beginning with God. Our beginning, children, has to go back to God. Our beginning has to go back to the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost of God. We have to go back to the beginning. Paul said, listen, he said, what we need to do, he said, we need to go back all the way to the beginning to find out the answers for now. He said, God that made the world and all things therein. See, that He is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands. So He's not here. You can't touch Him and feel Him and see Him. Praise God. He's not that kind of God. If He was that kind of God, He'd be too little to be our God. Amen? He said, neither is worship with men's hands as though He needed anything. See, He giveth to all life and breath and all things. And if made of one blood, all nations of men, for to dwell on all the face of the earth. We all come from Adam and Eve. Every one of us. You say, well, preacher, how did we get all these nationalities? It started in Babel. Because, see, they rose up and said, we're going to have a social, political environment, praise God, and we're going to be elitist, and we don't need nobody, including God. And God looked down on that mess. He said, you think so? He said, they think they're all that. He said, let's go down and we'll confound their languages and we'll scatter them all over the world. Amen. He said, they'll not rule without me. And he said, it hath determined the time before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. See, that's what Paul was saying. He said, God determines how far they can go. Amen. Did you know God determines how far you can go? Hey, you may not believe it this morning, but He's got you on a leash. He'll only let you go so far. And he'll begin to draw you back. Because it's for your own protection. It's to help you and to save you. He said that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after Him and find Him, though He be not far from every one of us. Why? Because verse 28, and I'm done. He said, for in Him we live and move and have our being. Amen. He said, it's in God. In God. In truth, in Him, and what He is. He said, we move, and we live, and we have our very being. Amen. We are what we are because of Him. Amen. We are what we are because of God this morning.